Well, we're into a very, very interesting part of the Old Testament.
Cindy just about finished the sixth chapter of Genesis now. From the first six chapters of Genesis, how much do you think you learned, Cindy? A whole house full? How many doors did it open into brand new avenues in the first six chapters of the book of Genesis? Just amazing. It's just like you walked into a palace, and every time you walked down a hallway, there was more doors, and when you walked through that door, there's more doors. That's the way Hebrew and Greek is. It just opens doors that you do not know about in any other languages. The wall is blank. But when you learn the languages, it's like walking through a many, many sided, just like a house of mirrors. Just walking, walking, walking. A maze of things. All right, Genesis, the 15th chapter. This is prophecy. The book of Genesis is full of prophecy, just full of it. Genesis means what? Bereshith, it means beginnings. Beginnings, all right. So, in the book of Genesis are many beginnings. This prophecy of Israel to be in Egypt 400 years then to the promised land, Genesis 15, 13 through 16 is the subject there. When I was taking Old Testament and New Testament survey, I had to go through the whole Bible. And by the way, that's so long ago, they didn't have the Bibles figured out in subjects. But I had to go and write all the subjects where they began and where they end in the Bible. And of course, this is part of it here. Now your study Bibles that you have today has all that in there, with all the little notes and everything. If you look at my Bibles, I had written them in there. Because they didn't have anything like that. That was in the Stone Age, you know. Back in the Stone Age. Wyomer. Lee Abram. There's your name there, Brother Abe. Yodah. Oh, 1513. What? Well, I'm going to read it again. Remember the last time I said we weren't finished with this. We got to it, but we weren't finished with it. Okay? We're not finished with this verse. Not yet. We got up to it. Wyomer, Abraham, Yodoah, Tidah, Ki, Ger, Yigeh, Zaraka, Be'eretz, Lo, Lahem, Wa'abadom, Weinu, Atam, Arba, Miot, Shana. Do you know anybody named Shana? A girl named Shana? Shana. Shana means year. All right? Shana means year. All right. And he said and kept on saying to Abraham, to be knowing, absolute infinity, to keep on knowing and to be knowing from now on, the knowing, you shall keep on knowing. Second person, masculine, singular, cal, imperfect. Because, traveler, alright, a pilgrim, nomadic. In Greek, in the Septuagint, is para oikoi. Para oikon. Para oikon este. Para oikon este. You will be beside Homer. You will not have a home. You are not going to have a house. The only house you're going to have is a portable full-time RVer. You're going to be nomadic from now on. You shall become and keep on becoming your seed in land not to them. Now this is prophecy. This is a long time ago. Who's he talking to here? Who's God talking to? Who's Jehovah talking to? Abraham. So Abraham told, or God told Abraham the gospel, the whole story of the gospel. A land not to them, and they shall slave for them. They shall slave for them, and they shall be kicked around, knocked around, and humbled and dominated over. That's what that verse, we inu, means. They shall be kicked around. They shall be knocked around. They shall be humbled. And look at that PL stem. What does PL stem mean? Intensely. That's a strong, strong verb. That's a real strong verb form there. They shall be intensely dominated over. They shall be knocked around. And they shall be humbled and humiliated. Them. 400 years. The exact time prophesied. This is going to happen to them. Now, I want you to turn to Exodus 1 and verse 11. Exodus 1 and verse 11. Through 14. And I want somebody to read that very loud. Out real loud. Exodus 1 and verse 11. Anyone there yet? Harry, you there? All right. This is loud. Read that out. Shout that out real loud.
This is amplified.
Okay.
So they said over the Israelites, taskmasters to afflict and oppress them with increased burdens. And the Israelites built Kedom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they multiplied and expanded, so that the Egyptians were vexed and alarmed because of the Israelites. And the Egyptians reduced the Israelites to severe.
Now, do you see what that Hebrew said there a while ago? What do you think happened? Exactly like it said would happen. They intensely humbled and humiliated. They knocked them around and kicked them around and beat them around and stomped, humiliated. All of this. All right, Brother David. Exodus 12 and 40. Are you there? Exodus 12 and 40. Exodus 12 and 40.
Now the length of time, is that it?
What?
Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years.
That's right.
At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come.
So they stayed there 430 years. 400 years. God said they'd be there 400 years. 400 years beat up. Now, just think about it. When Joseph went down into Egypt, Joseph became the number two man in Egypt. He became the, basically, he told Pharaoh what to do. He was actually the number one man in Egypt. Because he told Pharaoh what to do. And the only thing that Pharaoh, the only way that he was greater than him is because he was the God to them. But Joseph was a God to Pharaoh. Now, they're going to be down there 400 years. What if they'd had it easy down there for 400 years? Would they want to leave? No. So God had to warm their pants up. Had to warm them up to get them out of there. So he did. And they still didn't want to leave, did they? Even being slaves, they wanted to go back down there because they liked the onions. They liked the hangers, the leeks of Egypt, and all the spicy food. They didn't want to live out there in that wandering land. But they wandered out there for all those years because they weren't worthy to walk into the promised land. All right. Deuteronomy 5:15, Galatians 3:17. Is anyone over there in Galatians 3:17? And Genesis 50 and verse 25. See, we couldn't get away from this verse that easy. If we did, we'd have left so much behind. Who's got Deuteronomy 5:15? Yeah, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomos. It means the second law. By the way, all of the Old Testament scriptures are named from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew Bible. All right, Deuteronomy 5:15. Are you there, Abe?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Daniela. All right. Thank you very much. You did a very good job. Okay. Now, Acts the 7th chapter. Acts the 7th chapter. Verses 2 through 6. Brother David, you over there in the book of Acts? The Acts of the Churches. That's what I like to call it, the Acts of the Church. Cindy, are you there? All right. Acts 7. 2 through... 6.
And he answered, "Brethren and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham when he was..."
Now, hold on right there. Now, here's Stephen talking to the Sanhedrin and all the big shots. The Sanhedrin court, they've got him on trial and they're wanting to kill him because he's up there preaching the name of Jesus. Now, this is, he gets their attention because he starts telling them about all the promises of God. Go ahead.
"The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham when he was still in Mesopotamia, before he went to live in Haran. And he said to him, 'Leave your own country and your relatives and come into the land that I will point out to you.' So then he went forth from the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. And from there, after his father died, God transferred him to this country in which you are now dwelling. Yet he gave him no inheritable property in it, no, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But he promised that he would give it to him for a permanent possession, and to his descendants after him, even though as yet he had no child. And this, in effect, what God told him, that his descendants would be aliens or strangers in a land belonging to other people, who would bring them into bondage and ill-treat them 400 years.
All right, that's what we have. Now look at all of this. From this little verse right here in the Bible, Genesis 15 and verse 13, the whole foundation of the Scriptures set the promises of God to Abraham. And here, Stephen is reciting to the Sanhedrin court the promises of God. But at the end of this, he said, "And you crucified the Lord of glory." That's what he told them. And then what did they do to him? In the Greek scriptures, it says, "And they came and stoned him and ran up there and bit him with their teeth." And in Greek, it says, "They kept on biting him like wild dogs, biting his flesh, chewing on him with their teeth." Now, the Jews called the Gentiles what? Dogs. But the Gentiles became dogs that day. They became dogs. The Sanhedrin court became dogs. A bunch of wild canae dogs. All right. Gnosko, knowing. Gnose, you shall know, and you shall keep on knowing. The exact time is prophesied. He told this to Abraham hundreds of years before it happened. Now, 15 and verse 14. 15 and verse 14. Wigam et Hagal Asher Yahabadu. Right, Don, Anoki, we Ahari, Ken, Yetsu, Berkas, Gadol. All right, let's go and look at this now. And also we Gom and we, page 253, if you want to write that down. And Gom is page 168. Et is page 84. In that analytical, or not the analytical, but Brown, Driver, and Biggs lexicon. And then Hagal, the nation, the ethnos is what it is in the Septuagint, the ethnos. And what word do we get in English from ethnos? Ethnic background. All right. Hagan. And then it says, in Greek, it says, O-on, whichever or which if. That's what it has for Asher. Right? The nation which Yah-ah-vadu, which they shall slave and serve for and keep on serving and slaving for. Don. Don means what? Don. Daniela. Don. That's the root of your name right there, Don. That's it. Don. Don is a masculine singular cal perfect participle, that is. I shall keep on judging. I shall keep on judging. And in the Septuagint it says, crino ego, I shall judge. I shall judge. I shall judge, I is what it literally says. And afterward, thusly, surely, truly, yesu, they shall go out with a lot of portable property. What's portable property? In one place here, we looked the other day, it said Calvary. They took off with a lot of camels, a lot of oxen, a lot of donkeys, a lot of gold and silver. When the Israelites were ready to leave Egypt, God plagued Egypt how many times? Deca. Ten times. He plagued them 10 times. And when Israel was ready to leave, they begged them to leave. They said, please leave. You know, the first time that Abraham went down into Egypt, God plagued Pharaoh's household. And he begged him to leave. Not only did he beg him to leave, he gave him a lot of money, and he escorted him with his troops right out to the corner and said, don't come back. Get out of here. You have nothing but trouble. You have plagued me, and you've lied to me. And remember, God told Abimelech and told old Pharaoh, well, pray for that. Ask that man of God to pray for you. He may be a liar, but he's a man of God. Ask him to pray for you that you might live. All right. That you might live. Portable property. Page 940. And aposkenes. It means belongings. Poles. Belongings much. 15 and verse 15. We eta tavo el avotika bishalom tik kavar bisiva tova. All right. You shall live long and be buried at a geriatric age, an old age. A lot of people, you know, we don't know how long we're going to live, do we? We don't know how long we're going to live. I never thought I'd ever see 50 years. And see, that's a long time ago. I didn't think I'd ever see 50. Matter of fact, when I turned 30, I thought I was dying. I had already been through the ringer when I got to 30 years old. I figured that was about the end of my life when I was 30. I was really in bad shape. When I was 21, I got my back destroyed. I'd been through surgeries and everything. They didn't expect me to live through all that. Time I was 30, I was in bad shape. And here I am over 60. I made it a lot longer than what I thought I'd make it. Because God wasn't finished with me yet. Brother Soul, Suk Jaso, I think was his name. I was his teacher for 4 years in Greek and Hebrew. And a most brilliant man that I ever knew. He earned a doctorate of theology in 5 years. It took me about 12. But I earned 2, PhD and a doctorate of Bible languages. But he was a brilliant student. And I thought, well, when he goes back to Korea, he is going to build a seminary. He is going to build a tremendous work over there because he was a genius. Absolute genius. He knew every known language in the world, I think. And me trying to teach him Greek and Hebrew, boy, that was a joke. We learned from each other. He got over there, and before a year was up, he was dead. And talk about emotionally devastating to me, that just devastated me. Why in the world? What a promise. But he had a son over there. The son looked a lot like you, Brother Abe. The boy did. And he was young. He came over there and he went to school in his father's place and he went back and built a work. I don't think that boy would have ever done it if his father hadn't died. We don't understand what's going to go on. We don't understand. God can see through space and time with no problem. We just have to make ourselves available. And you, we ata, and you shall go out and keep on going out. You're going to leave and you're going to keep stay gone. El avoteka, unto your fathers. Be shalom, in peace. Boy, now that's something we really need right there. Peace. We need peace, don't we? You know, if you have peace, you can go to sleep at night. You can, can't you? You can go to sleep at night. Now, I'm American Indian. And for about 400 years, our people were extremely persecuted in this land. And only a few survived. Because it was called ethnic cleansing, it's called genocide, whatever you want to call it, that's what happened to us. You know that you couldn't be in your village and ever go to sleep. You had to sleep very lightly. If you didn't sleep light, you didn't maybe wake up. Because you were never at peace. Even when you thought you were... If you had a flag flying over there, my great-great-grandfather went to work for Custer. You know who George Armstrong Custer was? And a man by the name of Black Kettle, a Cheyenne chief on the Washita River, he was there at camp with his whole tribe, and he was under a white flag of truce and under an American flag of truce. And he had permission to camp and to live right there. Well, Custer came along and he invited several people in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. It was called Smith Paul's Valley at that time. And my great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, Sam Paul and Jesse Paul volunteered. And they became scouts for Custer. And they went out there. Now, you have to remember that Black Kennel's out there with his Cheyenne village and they are under a flag of truce. They're where they're supposed to be and everything else. Custer split his troops and surrounded that village. And he told my great-great-grandfather, he said, we're going to lead them to the reservation. We're going to take them by force to the reservation. We're going to put them on reservation land. Actually, they were where they're supposed to be anyway. He surrounded that village. And they picked my grandfather out as as one of the sharpshooters. And you can read about that story in Shadow of an Indian Star. And he was up there, and they were going to charge in the village, and anybody, this was the understanding, anyone that resisted, they were going to shoot. And they were going to forcefully take them to the reservation. Well, they were where they were supposed to be. But Custer wanted to make a name for himself. So he takes his sharpshooters out there, and my grandfather's up there with his rifle because he's one of the greatest shots in Indian territory. And they blow the charge. And they attack the village. And the women ran out of the teepees and they started shooting down the women and children. And right by my grandfather, the story goes that a woman and her three children came out and this soldier shot that woman and three babies. It is said that he took his rifle and tried to beat that soldier to death with it. And he saw that this was not
an escort, but nothing but a massacre.
It's nice to be able to lay down in peace, isn't it? Black Kittle couldn't. That was the second time Black Kittle had been attacked under a flag of truce. The second time. First time he got away. Colonel John Chivington, a Methodist preacher, with his volunteers from the Colorado bars, had attacked him the first time. Black Kittle got away that time. But this time he was murdered. But it was a great massacre. It was a great battle. My uncle was shot off his horse as a bad Indian. He looked too much like an Indian. He had long hair and buckskins. Sam Paul was all dressed up in a suit, like a white man. He didn't get shot as a bad Indian. In peace. Page 1023. Page 575 in Bullinger's works. It'll say Shalom and it'll say Arani. Peace. Tranquility. Absence of harm. Safety. God told Abraham, you will die in a great age in safety. Abraham, don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to have peace. You shall be buried in age. Be-shiva. In age, good. Tova. Tova. Now, in the Greek Septuagint, it says, in Gerah. That's where we get the word Geritol. Remember they used to have Geritol advertised on TV all the time, Geritol for old people, you know, make you feel good. It had a bunch of alcohol in it, and so they'd get out there and wanting to dance after they took Geritol, you know. Gerah, the word geriatric comes from that old age. In Gerah, kalo, in Gerah, good. The cave of Machpelah is where he's going to be buried. We're going to look at that later on. That is the most fantastic place. It's there in Hebron. I have been in that cave. When I get to that place where they bury Abraham, I'm going to try to bring in a slide and show you the cave of Machpelah. The cave of Machpelah. And inside there's all kinds of coffins. One where Abraham was and one for Jacob was and Joseph and all these. These are all, they have places above, down below in the cave. It's where they're buried. But above, there is a ground floor up there. And above their coffins below is a golden coffin for every one of them. And this is where the early, what they call Christians, or they built these tombs. And then the Muslims, they also revere the same place. 15 and verse 16. 15 and verse 16. We do. Yeah. Rabbi Yahshiva, Ashuba, that is. Hina Ki Lo Shalem Avon Ha Emori Ad Hina. All right. We door. And generation. Gagia is what it is. Gagia in Greek. And generation fourth. They shall return. They shall return. Apostra theisonte. You shall return. That's what the Septuagint says. You shall return here. Because not complete. Look at the word shalem. Shalem. Not complete. What does the word shalom mean or peace mean? It means an agreement. All right? Not complete. Not complete. That's the root of that word on page 1024 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Now that's the word shalem. All right? Not complete iniquity, avon. Look at that word, avon. iniquity, 731. It says, Hi hamartia in the Septuagint. Ha amori, the Amorites, until now. Now, what about these Amorites? Their sin is not completed. Way back, God told Noah about this same event, didn't he? You're going to get there pretty soon, Cindy. You guys that studied with me in the first part of the book of Genesis, God told Noah this was going to happen. God told Noah that his grandson, Canaan, would go into this land, and these were the Amorites, and the Canaanites would be in the land of Canaan. Say Canaan. That's the way you say it in Hebrew, Canaan. It's not Canaan, but it's Canaan. All right. In the land of Canaan. Canaan. These people would be reprobates. They would be bad. These reprobates, every person in the world came from one man that's here in the world today. One man and one woman. Who was it? Oh, you go back far enough, it's going to be Adam and Eve, isn't it? But when the earth was repopulated, we came from one man and one woman, Noah and his wife. All right, Noah and his wife. And Noah means what? It means peace and safety. Let's think about that one for a while. Okay? Noah means Noah. Is the way you say it, Noah. Noah means peace and safety. We all go back to Noah. And God told Noah that his children through Canaan... Now, Noah, after the flood, he planted a grape vineyard, and he took the grape juice, genomathos teison plu in Greek, he took the grape dot gihi in Hebrew, he took this grape juice and put it in wine skins or in bottles, skin bottles, leather bottles, and it fermented, and it got alcohol in it, and I'm not too sure that happened on the other side of the flood. Many people think fermentation and degeneration and this alcohol did not take place before the flood. But after the flood, things changed. What all changed after the flood? The animals started eating each other. Before the flood, they didn't. Now, if you go back in prehistoric times, in the dinosaurs and everything, evidently that some of the dinosaurs ate each other and everything else, but when God put man on this earth, the wild animals, the snakes didn't eat each other. The lions didn't eat lambs. They ate just like they are over here in the millennium. They're going to eat grass. What happened this morning, we talked about Nebuchadnezzar. God, for 7 years, turned him into a cow. He went out there and ate grass like a cow for 7 years to humble him. All right? The animals before the flood did not kill each other. After, when God turned them loose, they grew teeth. Some sharp teeth. And they began to eat each other. And man began to eat animals. Man began to eat flesh. Before the flood, it was unlawful for man to eat any animals. You could not eat any animal. Yet that man before the flood was a vegetarian. All right. God told Noah, after he drank too much wine and got drunk and uncovered himself in his tent, the one son went in there and humiliated him in some way. We do not know exactly what happened, but it happened. He came out. His other two brothers, Ham, went in and sinned. And then we have Japheth and Shem go in there, and they took a blanket and covered up, went backwards and took and covered up their father. And they were honorable in what they did. Well, when Noah woke up, he knew what his son had done, and he was humiliated by this, and he knew that God was not happy with him, and so that he had to bring a curse. And if he cursed
Ham, he would have cursed himself, because that was his children. And if he cursed Ham, he would have cursed all of the Hamite races. All of us of darker races, everything but Anglo-Saxons, would have been cursed through Ham. I'm a descendant of Ham. Brother Abe there is a descendant of Ham. Brother Harry, you're a descendant of Ham. We'd all been cursed from now on. Now that isn't what he did. He cursed one descendant, which was Canaan, Cain. All right? And he would go in and he would settle the land of Canaan, and God knew that that boy would bring everything evil out. And those Canaanites were horrible people, weren't they? They were full of sin and ungodliness in that land. Not only that, but evidently from Genesis the 6th chapter, they had cohabited before the flood with angels. And then after the flood, these people were sexually promiscuous, and they cohabited again and brought forth a race of giants. And God said, when you go in there, kill every one of them, man, woman, child, and even the animals. Even the animals were supposed to be killed. Why? Disease and corruption and infection. They had to kill all. Man, woman, and child. That sounds pretty horrible, doesn't it? But if they didn't do it, it would be a curse to them in the land. Well, the sin wouldn't be complete until later in time. They would completely become totally reprobate. Totally reprobate. What does reprobate mean? Not God. I know you know Meryl. I've been taking her home for about the last 13 years, and so she knows all the answers to the questions. See? What's reprobate mean? One who has denied the faith. Reprobate means one who has denied the faith. Did they know the truth? I'm going to tell you something. I am Lakota. I'm about five kinds of Indian, but one of them is Lakota, and I know quite a bit of Lakota language. The Lakota knew who the father was, Wakantanka. That's the term for the father. They knew who the son was, Tonkashila. They knew who the Holy Spirit was, Skontaku, Skonskon. They knew a lot about God. How did they know it? Because we're all related to Noah. God will judge every race of mankind for what light he has, from what knowledge he has, Romans the first chapter. All right. Well, about that period of time, those people down there in the land of Canaan would be real bad. And it was time to get rid of them. Execution time. But they had built farms and everything else. He said, I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Any of you want to come out to my house and take some of those grapes like Caleb and Joshua did? I've got grapes on my place. And you can come out here and carry you off a pole full of grapes if you want to. We've got too many. Do you want grapes, seedless grapes? They're all right now. Just come and get them. I live out there on the end of Gosford Road, Gosford and Bear Mountain. They went into the promised land. It was land flowing with milk and honey. And Joshua and Caleb went in there, and out of 12 spies, only two of them brought a good report. The rest of them said, I'm afraid. We are like grasshoppers inside. Those giants, those Nephilim, are in the land. We're afraid of them. Well, Joshua and Caleb says, give me that mountain over there where the big guys are. We'll take them on. Let us turn us loose. We'll go in there and we'll take the giants. That's where Hebron was. That's where the cave of Machpelah was. That's where the giants were. Right up there where Abraham's tomb was. Well, they got to go in there later on and take that land. They weren't afraid of the giants. David wasn't afraid of the giants, was he? When he was a little old boy, he took one of them giants on Goliath, and he was ready to kill all his brothers with him. The Shekinah glory of God passes through the offering of the covenant. And this is an unconditional covenant. Wahi. Ha Shemesh. Ba'a. We Allah Ta. Haya. We hene tanur ashan Wa-la-pib. Ish. Asher. Avar. Now, how would you say this Avar in modern Hebrew? Avar. All right? And Asher instead of Asher. It would be like an S. Asher. Okay? Asher. Avar ben Hagazarim. Hagazarim. Ha-ile. All right. What? Sit ben means son. It also means divide. It means divide also. In the book of Genesis, in the first chapter there, you'll see it'll say Yavan, 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 between, between, between. Okay? A divider between. Okay? Also, it means according to a pattern. A cut pattern. A cut. The Yatheke. All right? Divide the word of God correctly means cut straight. And that's the word ben also in Hebrew. All right? It means to cut. The word berith means to what? To cut. And became and kept on becoming the son. Having gone down. Ba'ah. Having gone down, third person feminine singular. The son is feminine. Third person feminine singular, kal, perfect. Alright. We alata. And thick darkness. Skotia is the Greek word. Thick darkness. Having become, third person masculine singular, kal, perfect, and behold, wehene, and behold, tanur, an oven. An oven is a, kibanos is the word in Greek. It is a fire pot, okay? A fire pot, something like a lantern. A lantern is a fire pot. Out on my farm out there, I used to have a lot of railroad lanterns around my arbor out there hanging down there, and I'd go out there and light those railroad lanterns. And we'd have light from the railroad lanterns. And that is a fire pot, like a lamp, okay? A lamp of smoke. And we lopid. And a fiery torture display. A fire. Ish. Which he passed by, be in between the pieces. What pieces? Remember what happened? Abraham took some animals, he cut them half in two, and he put one half on one blanket on one side, one half, and the two testifiers, the two people that were make a covenant, walked in between, they handed each other their shoe, and basically made the covenant. Between the pieces. Between the pieces. The Shekinah glory of God signed this contract in Him alone. Fire is flux. Flux. John 1:14, Kaiho Logo starts again, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, He became. This Jehovah is the one that walked down through. Jehovah, in all of His glory, walked through between those pieces. Jeremiah 34:18-19. The these. 15 and verse 18 now. 15 verse 18. Vayom. Hahu, Karat, and then here we have the word Jehovah, and we're just going to call him Havavar, the word. Okay? Havavar, Et, Avram, Beret, Lemor. Alright? Lazaraka, Natati, Et, Haaretz, Hazot, Menehar, Mitzraim, Ad, Hanahar, Hagadol, Nihar,
Parot. All right, let's keep on going here. God's unconditional contract with Abraham is signed by God alone. Abraham did not sign the contract. He prepared the contract, but God alone signed the contract, and it's an unconditional contract. What does unconditional contract mean? It means that Abraham didn't have any conditions on his part. This God decided to save him, so to speak, decided to bless him and his descendants. And God decided that alone. Nobody helped him. God decided. This is what we call the election of Israel. The election. God elected. I preached a sermon on Sunday morning here a while back on the book of Jonah, foreordained and predestined. Well, we know back in the days of Noah that God had prophesied this. We know that back in the Garden of Genesis, God must have told even Adam about his plan, Genesis 3:15. In they, the that, having coveted, third person manual singular, Cal perfect, having coveted Jehovah, Hathabar, with Abram, but a cutting or a covenant, saying, Cal infinitive construct, Lizarakal, to your seed, to your offspring, I shall have given. God, this is what you call a future perfect right here. I shall have given. God looks to Abraham doesn't have one child yet. We have to remember this. He doesn't have a child. Okay? He has no seed. He has no offspring. Okay? He said, I shall have given the land. Hazor, he has no heir. He doesn't have an heir yet. But I'm going to give this to your children. To your seed, Hazot. This, from river, Egypt, Mitzrayim. That's what you use. The word Mitzrayim, now, Egyptos is the Greek word for Egypt. Mitzrayim, sometimes in the New Testament it uses the word Mitzrayim. That means it's quoting from Hebrew. Alright? If it's Egyptos, that's where we get our word Egypt. That is from the Greek. Okay? But here we have the word Mitzrayim. And what does Mitzrayim mean? What does Egypt mean? Do you remember? It means a red mud. It means canal banks. It means a bulwark. It means a red mud wall. A canal bank looks like a mud wall, doesn't it? All right? It's a bulwark, a fortress, a land of red mud fortresses. And Gesenius on page 501, if you want to write that down. Gesenius, page 501, if you want to look that up. Odd. As far as Ha-Hanahar, the river, the great river Euphrates. Euphrates. Petrarch. Euphrates. 15 and verse 19 now. 15 and 19. Are you learning anything from this? Is this pretty good stuff? If I didn't take a little time and tell you the story about all this, you couldn't maybe quite put it all together. But you have to chase a rabbit here and chase a rabbit there every now and then. Now, in this last verse that we had here, Deuteronomy 1, 7 and 8, Genesis 17 and 8, Joshua 21, 43, Exodus 23, 31, Numbers 31, 1 through 15, Acts 7 and 5, and Genesis 10 and 6 are all cross-references to this last verse. Okay? Now we have Genesis 15 and verse 19. Et. Ha. Ka'ene. Okay? That's the Kenite. We et. Ha. Ka'nazizi. The Kenizzite. We at Hakadmani and the Kadamite. The Kadamite. Alright, Exodus 3:17 and 23:28
And Joshua 24:11 and Nehemiah 9 and 8 are cross-references to this. We can jump right along in this. 15 and verse 20. We at Hahiti. We at Ha-Parizi. We at Ha-Rephaim. And the Hittites. The Hittites. The Hittites are an unusual people. For many years, many archaeologists said the Hittites never existed. You know who the Hittites were and where they went? You know where the Hittites went? Anybody remember? The Hittites? The Hittites are the Orientals. The Chinese, the Koreans, the Japanese. These are who the Hittites are. The Hittites were the greatest inventors in the world. The Hittites invented the flush toilet. The Hittites invented plumbing. The Hittites invented paper money. All of these things, the Hittites invented all of these things. When Marco Polo went to China, he went over there and he said, I can't believe it. All the things that these Chinese, they're so far ahead of any other people. They had built the first cast iron ovens and stoves. They cast iron and bronze, great big. They did metalwork of all kinds. They were iron workers. They were musicians. Some of the greatest inventors in the world are the Hittites. How they got over there in the Orient, I don't know, but that's where they came from, right here. The Hittites. Marco Polo said you could go over there and from one province in China to the other, a man could sell everything that he owned and get a piece of paper, money, for everything he owned. All of his clothes, all his furniture, his home, his vehicles, everything that he owned, he could sell all of that and get it for an exact amount of money. He could go 300 miles and go into a new province, and with that same money that he got there, he could buy everything exactly like he got without having to move it. He said, isn't that neat? And they had been doing this for 1,000 years already. The Chinese invented paper. They also invented type. All of this. All these great inventions. Medicine. Operations. The Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaim. 15:21. We at Ha-Emari. We at Ha-Kanani. We at Ha-Gergashi. We at Ha-Yavusu. A Yavusi. All right. And the Amorites, and the Canaanites. We know who the Canaanites are, don't we? And we at the Girgashite, and we at the Jebusite. Who are the Jebusites? What city did they found? Jebusite. Jebus, which was Jerusalem. These are the original inhabitants of Jerusalem. Jebus. Alright? Alright, 16 and verse 1. We're in the 16th chapter, Cindy. We're flying along here. We saw Eshet, Avram, Lo, Yalida, Lo, Wila, Shifa. All right, now when you say Shifa, you got to kind of clear your throat because that chet in there, Shifa. All right, that H sound has got a CH in it. That's it, chet, not a hit. All right, Mitzrayim, Yushima, Hagar. All right. And Sarah, wife of Abram.
not, has born, has been born, third person feminine singular, cow perfect, not has been born to him and to her, female slave, Egyptian. Named to her, Hagar. Hagar. What does Hagar mean? To wander. Page 212. Alright. By the way, if you go back and look up there with Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 596 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Egyptian Mithraim, the land of red mud, Mithraim, are Egyptos. And Gesenius, it's page 501, and Davis is page 510. So you've got several different lexicons you can look and really chase this word around. All right? 16 and verse 2 now. We'll quit here pretty soon. Watamar. Sarai. El Evram. Hine. Na. Asarani. Dabar. Hadavar. There's Jehovah, Hadavar. Okay. Melidet. Bu. Na. El. Shifati. Yule. Ibane. Min. Min. Mimmena. Mimmena. I got tongue tied. Yahishma Avram. Okay. And said Sarai. All right. And said this contention first, this contentious woman. Davidson, page 739, if you want to look that one up, this contentious woman. Unto Abraham, behold now, he has stopped me. Look at that word. Third person, masculine, singular, cow, perfect. The suffix is first-person construct singular. He has stopped me, Jehovah. Now, here we've got the little story of Abraham and Sarai. And Abram and Sarai now. Sarai tells Abraham that God, Jehovah, is mad at me. Jehovah is mad at me. And Jehovah has stopped up my womb, and I cannot conceive. I can't catch seed and make a baby with it. That's literally what it says in Hebrew. I can't catch seed and make a baby. And from beginning, it says now, or go into now unto female slave of me. Female slave of me. Shephati. Female slave of me. And maybe perhaps I may make a pattern. I may make a pair. I may make a child according to a pattern. That's what it literally says. I may make a child according to a pattern. First person construct singular, nephel imperfect. Okay. I shall keep on making this child according to a pattern in this womb with this woman. From her. And he listened to Abraham, Ligol Sarai, to the voice, Ligol Sarai. To the voice of his wife. Now Sarah says that Abraham, I want you to take my young, beautiful Egyptian slave here, and I want you to go mate with her. And since God is mad at me, I can't have a child. God's mad at me, so I can't have a child. Now Abraham, it's probably not your fault that you can't bring forth a son with me. And so God is probably mad at me and not you. So she thinks in her mind, it's Abraham's fault. So she's going to prove to Abraham it's his fault that he's not having any kids. So she has him mate with her slave, and she doesn't expect that slave to have a child. Okay? And she's going to prove that God's mad at Abraham, not her. But that isn't what happened. That isn't what happened. The rest of the story. All right. Watika. Sarai. Eshet. Abram. Et. Hagar. Hamitseret. Shiphatha. Mekhets, Asher, Janim, Shanim. I forgot to write it up the top of it. Leshevet, Avram, the Eretz, Canaan, Watitin, Otav, Le'Ebram, Isha, Lo, Le'Ishisha. Okay. And he took and he kept. And took and he kept Sarai, wife, woman, Abraham, Hagar, the Egyptian. Now, Hagar, the Egyptian, was Abraham's wife. I want you to understand that. When a man and a woman come together in union, sexual union, they are man and wife. So young girls, young boys, when you go out there in the world and start fooling around, don't do that because you are just about to get yourself married. That's marriage. Period. Abraham married Hagar the Egyptian. This was his wife. Now the Bible calls it, she was a, what do you call it? When a guy had a lot of wives, and what was the other thing? How many wives did Solomon have? And how many concubines? A concubine was a wife also. The act of marriage is when you become married. Okay? That's marriage. Now, Abraham was going to marry. He already had a wife, but now his wife talks him into marrying her slave. But there's going to be a difference between marrying the slave, which is now a concubine, and his wife. Because whoever that slave has, first of all, the slave doesn't own it. And that child legally, really, in all reality, does not have any legal heirship at all. Unless the father gives it to him. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had 1,000 wives. He had actually 1,001 wives because so was Sheba. The queen of Sheba was his wife also. He had 1,001 wives, but only 700 of them had legal rights. Just his wives, what they call wives, had legal rights. The other ones were his wives, but they had no legal rights. Their children had no legal foot to stand on. So this woman really, even though she has a child, it's not going to be her child, and that child really isn't guaranteed heirship to anything. Hagar the Egyptian, the female slave of her from end 10 years to dwelling Abram in land of Canaan, and she gave her to Abraham, husband of her, to him for a wife. What does it say there? For a wife. We find out that Abraham ended up with a Hamite wife, a Shemite wife, and a Japhethite wife, which was who? That was his last wife, wasn't it? Keturah. So now, the first child he's going to have is a Hamite child. Okay? The second child he's going to have is what? Is a Shemite child, and then he's going to have some Japhethite children. All right? Right there's where we'll end for today. Is that all right with you? And then we'll start up here next week on 16 and verse 4. 16 and verse 4. All right. Did you have any questions? Did you learn anything tonight? A lot of stuff in there, isn't there? Lots of stuff. I write down here in this verse, Sarah made a big flowing speech how Jehovah had kept her from conceiving a child and that Jehovah had judged her. But all the time when she gave Hagar to Abraham, she thought that it was Jehovah that was judging Abram and not her. Now that she sees that it was her own self that had not conceived Abraham's fertile seed, she is mad. Her name, Sarai, means very contentious, and from this period of time on, we're going to see she's real mad. She's mad at God, and she's mad at Abram. All right. So there's the previews of coming attractions. Go out and do something eternal this week. It's, girls, it's good to have you in the classroom tonight. You come back anytime you want to. Just feel free to come here anytime. All right? And you can even sleep. When my little girl was her age, she was sleeping on the floor on the pallet, snoring all the time I was teaching Greek. Isn't that right, Dakota? All right. But she learned a little Greek. You know that girl's had 18 years of Greek and Hebrew? 18 and three-quarter years of Greek and Hebrew. Exactly. All right, let's go out there and pounce on the world and do something eternal. Brother Harry, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?